that Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, and they just disagree on how.
We're going to get across that wasteland, and we're going to do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
The world isn't wide enough. Get immersed in the expansive views of the 48-inch customizable panoramic display in the all-new 2024 Lincoln Nautilus Hybrid. Explore more at Lincoln.com. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates.
This is NASCAR driver Tony Breininger, inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for my favorite craveable chicken fingers. Turbocharge your order and get it even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app. Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Tip of the Iceberg Podcast, brought to you as always by the Hockey Podcast Network. My name is Nick Berlansky, and I'm joined, as always, by Nick Horwat. And let us be the last. I saw this by Chris Berman when watching NFL Primetime earlier this morning. Let us be one of the last to wish you a happy Thanksgiving. We hope everybody had a good weekend. And be among the first to wish a happy Hanukkah and a happy and merry Christmas season, as we are now in the last couple of days of November here. And the Pittsburgh Penguins, well, they lost their win streak over the weekend. They did. They're no longer on a win streak, but they're still playing great hockey. Horwat, how happy are you that they've turned the corner and we don't have to be miserable like we were the first couple of weeks of this month of November?
It's a ton of fun watching this team again. Let's start there. Even in the game they lost, it was still a fun game to watch. They were in it until basically the bitter end. And I just only have good things to say about this team. Yeah, you want to win by more than one goal on the island. Yeah, you want to beat a bad team in Montreal who's going through some shit. But regardless, I think the fact that the team is playing well, they're still trying to get their feet wet kind of with this full lineup and losing Brian Rust all of a sudden. Things are looking up. Things are looking good. You're not going to win them all. You're not. And also, come hell or high water, I'm still here. I'm on my phone today. I may as well just get off on this before we get into the games, before I'm ready to set up. I'm trying to write a story this morning. My laptop's not turning on. Mm-hmm. So I'm here with it leaned up against my thing. I have to take this old horse of a laptop in to the Genius Bar after work today and figure things out. Yeah, I've had this laptop since 2015. Yeah. It is she's been a workhorse for me, so. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe I'm due for a new one. We'll figure something out. But yeah, the Penguins looking good. This is a ton of fun to watch hockey again.
Yeah. So obviously he's not too pleased with the fact that they have to go back to work after a nice long weekend for the holiday weekend. But we have a full slate of Penguins talk to help you get through that day, that Monday morning grind. We are talking obviously about the Penguins' previous couple of games. That's where we're going to start. We're going to preview their 5-game road trip that starts tonight against the Calgary Flames. Make sure you have your coffee ready. Late night hockey is back for the Penguins. We're going to talk about the Penguins' backup goalie issue because Casey DeSmith has had a rough start to the season. So we'll discuss that. We'll discuss the fact that the Penguins have sold, pending NHL approval, they have sold to the Fenway Sports Group. We'll discuss that in the second segment, and then we'll finish it off with a fun Pens poll. So a full rundown here of Penguins Talk on your Monday morning to close out what has been the best month. And I know, Horwat, I haven't told you this. What has been the best month numbers-wise in the tip of the iceberg history. So thank you to everybody that has tuned in this month. Let's finish it off on a good note. We're talking the Penguins' previous games to start things off. Obviously, Friday night, huge win against the New York Islanders. That's a revenge game for the Penguins as a whole after being knocked out by them in the postseason last year. That's a huge revenge game for Tristan Jarry, who picks up his third shutout in basically 1 week that has kind of catapulted his numbers up to the top of the leaderboard in the NHL. But a 1-0 win against the Islanders, of course. The New York Islanders have had a rough go of things right now. 8 straight losses, 4 straight at their brand new UBS Arena, and now they have a COVID shutdown to deal with as well. They're struggling. And the Penguins, when you go in there against a struggling Islanders team, you know what you say? Let's get the 2 points and get the hell out. And that's exactly what they did. It wasn't pretty, a 1-0 win, but it was nice to see guys like Kasperi Kapanen getting up on the first line due to Brian Rust's injury. Nice to see him snipe past Ilya Sorokin, get a nice goal, and it's nice to see Tristan Jarry continue to stay hot.
Yeah, and against Ilya Sorokin, who was playing a very good game, I mean, when you score only one goal, your first thought is not, hey, we won that game. It's, oh, we scored one goal, how did we fall apart? For what it's worth, the Penguins winning a 1-0 victory, those are the kind of wins you need to win, you need to take, especially against a Barry Trotz-led Islanders team, despite them missing big names on defense, including Chara, and both Pelech and Pulock, right? That getting a gritty 1-0 victory like that is huge, because again, that's more proof that you can trust in Tristan Jarry as your backstop. You can trust in your defense to make the right plays. You want to score more than one goal, sure. It's not a perfect game by any stretch of the means, but pulling out a victory in your first time on Long Island since taking the L in the playoffs. It's more of a, not so much a revenge game, but it's a feel good. Hey, we got in there, we got 2 points and we got out. And it's not like it was a blowout. Granted, you know, blowouts or whenever the identity line likes to get a little chippy. Now they still did, but things could have been a hell of a lot worse had we been up 4-0, maybe. And also, I don't know why you would continue calling that the identity line when your identity is 8 straight losses.
Yeah, because, you know, win or lose, that is the identity of the New York Islanders. That's what they're going to play, I guess. I don't know. I don't name these lines, Horwat. I just make fun of them.
Phil called that, though. I mean, I watched the game on mute.
I'm sure Pierre... I mean, I didn't see the game. I missed most of the game. I
found a stream for it, so...
Yeah, I was actually at work. The only thing is there was one TV on at the bar in the very back that I kept looking over and checking the score and kind of seeing the game.
Okay.
So I kept seeing that it was still 1-0 for the most part. I did watch the highlights. That was about it. Unfortunately, I didn't have the time to watch the entire game. But from what I saw, the Penguins, they played a pretty good game. They played a Pittsburgh Penguins-type game. They continued to play the way that they kind of set the standard in those previous 4 games and continued playing it against the Islanders on Friday. Goal scoring wasn't quite there because Sorokin was able to shut them down from what I saw. But at the same time, the Penguins, like you said, you got to be able to pull out gutsy wins like that, and you got to get saves when you need it like that. And Tristan Jarry provided that on Friday night, which is obviously great to see. And we'll talk about him a little bit later and a lot on Thursday. I already have a segment planned that we'll discuss Tristan Jarry on Thursday for Thursday's episode. But the biggest news over the weekend, before we get into the Montreal game, the biggest news was Brian Rust being injured and placed on injured reserve. It's retroactive to November 26th. And the quintessential roster move with that, Drew O'Connor called back up to the NHL roster. Now, Horwat, the big question that leaves for me is, who should be on that top line while Rust is out? Obviously, Guentzel is leading the team in both goals and also in points. Crosby starting to get right. We'll talk about that with the Montreal game. But who should be on the right side there while Rust is out?
So I don't know if you've been on the train. I don't know if I've been on the train. But I think we are both officially... I'm speaking for you for a moment. I think we're both officially on the Evan Rodriguez train.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember the exact words I've said over this podcast discussing Evan Rodriguez this year, but I think in the back of my mind, it was always, this can't last forever. The downfall is coming, which is still true. This cannot last forever. But while it's lasting, why not utilize it to the best of our ability and give him the most opportunities to score goals and be in the Penguins scoring race. Trust me, no one in the Penguins is going to touch the league scoring race this year, so let's just kind of get the personal victories.
No one outside of the Edmonton Oilers are going to touch the NHL scoring race.
Yeah, it's that one's... let's just... every team's fighting for themselves when it comes to scoring races, so... Mm-hmm. And that's fine, though. But the fact that Evan Rodriguez, of all people, is the one that we're still discussing. At the beginning of the season, it was everyone's hurt. Our leaders are Heinen, O'Connor, and Rodriguez. That's going to happen whenever... everyone's hurt. Gensel missed a game and is not performing to the top of his ability, and Kapanen is just slumping. Now, everyone's back. You know, Drew O'Connor got sent to the minors despite having to come back now. Dan Heinen's still scoring quiet goals, which is nice to see.
Mm-hmm.
Getting that depth, the depth production that we won cups on. But Evan Rodriguez just isn't going away.
Mm-mm.
And he doesn't seem to be anytime soon. So I think sticking ye old number nine up there might be the best option for the moment. Like I said, until the eventual decline does happen, because I just don't think this can last forever. But while he is hot, strike.
Mm-hmm.
Strike while that iron is hot.
Yeah, no, the big issue with Evan Rodriguez, and a lot of people kind of likened him at the beginning of his tenure in Pittsburgh to Dom Simone, is, yeah, you know, he does a lot of the right things. He plays a way that is very much a way that Sidney Crosby wingers play. The only problem with him was, same with Dom Simone, he can't really finish. He has a good shot, but he never really hits the mark. His numbers aren't really great. He doesn't convert very much. He has a low shooting percentage. Well, this year, it's kind of the inverse. I mean, the guy has really found his shot, has been able to get the accuracy on it, and you saw that on Saturday with the power play goal that he scored when Crosby just poked it out to Rodriguez. He took it and fired an absolute howitzer past Jake Allen, one of the few that we got past Jake Allen. And, you know, Rodriguez is tied for the team lead with 8 goals on the season. I mean, if you would have said Evan Rodriguez is on pace to have a 20-goal year, I don't think any... honestly, I think right now he's on pace to have... let's see, we're a quarter of the way through the season. Yeah, he's on pace to have a 30-goal year. Do I think he's going to? No, I don't. I mean, I might be pessimistic in that light, but the fact is, Evan Rodriguez has been good for the Pittsburgh Penguins this year. Do I think he should be the guy that's on the top line? Yeah, I think that's where we should start. I like possibly letting Heinen play up there a little bit, but not over a guy that's as hot as Evan Rodriguez is. I also like the idea of Kasperi Kapanen up there, but when you have Evgeny Malkin 2, maybe 3 weeks, I mean, he's not with the team on this road trip, so that's the next 2 weeks. We know for sure he's not going to join the team in practice. But maybe 3, 4 weeks away from coming back, I would keep Kasperi Kapanen with Jeff Carter. That way, you know, you don't want to mess too many things up. You don't want Kapanen to go out there and get great rapport with Crosby and then have Malkin come back and stick him with them, and then he has to do the whole process over again, especially when Rust comes back. But I don't know. That might just be me overthinking things and trying to galaxy brain it. But Kasperi Kapanen and Evan Rodriguez, I think, are the two options there. But with Rodriguez as hot as he is, I think it's hard to keep him away from the Crosby line, especially the way he's shooting the puck. It's absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, he was the force that got us going in the Montreal game. He was, mm-hmm. he's just been everywhere. I mean, when he's not scoring, you don't notice him, but that's just the way he plays.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you didn't really notice him during the Islanders game, but then going into the home game against Montreal, he has 12 shots, 12 of the 50 shots.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't exactly hear on the broadcast if that was close or it was tying the franchise record for shots in a game. I think it's like second.
Yeah.
Because I think I did see a tweet that 14 is the record by Stackhouse, of all people. But still, the fact that a guy like Evan Rodriguez is the one collecting 12 of your shots. Granted, again, you put up 50.
Yeah.
Jake Allen just stood on his skull. He's noticeable. He's taking advantage of his opportunities, and he's putting up, he's producing. To, like, if you would have, I don't even know how to put it, because last year we were just mocking, why is he on the first line with Crosby and Gensel? We really were. And then he would score in our faces a couple times and be like, oh, okay, we still don't want you there. This year, we mock it, not as much, but we figure, hey, they did it last year. It's just what they're going to do again, because sometimes Mike Sullivan and the Penguins can be a little stubborn. You know, see Dom Simone. We're a little stubborn sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
This situation, though, the stubbornness is working out. Don't know why or how, but maybe he's getting lucky. Who cares? We ride the luck.
Yeah.
Keep, you know, keep carrying the horseshoe.
Yeah, you got to ride the wave regardless. They were riding a wave heading into their home game against Montreal on Saturday, but were stopped by the Fighting Jake Allens, basically. The Penguins lose by a score of 6-3, but realistically, the game was ended at 4-2 late in the third period, and then, of course, a couple empty net goals. They scored three on the game, did the Canadiens. Casey DeSmith was in there, one of his first starts in probably several weeks, as it seems like Tristan Jarry has just owned the crease for the Pittsburgh Penguins, but Casey DeSmith gets in there, gives up three goals on 31 shots. He's still winless on the season, 0-3-1. To start, we'll talk about him in the next segment. But the Penguins dominated this game. I told you that I watched this game the next day. And from start to finish, the Pittsburgh Penguins were all over the now GM-less Montreal Canadiens as Marc Bergevin was fired on Sunday afternoon. But the Penguins, literally Jake Allen won this game. Not even the Canadiens. I mean, a couple of goals by the Habs, but realistically, that's more on you need a save by Casey DeSmith when your team is dominating the way that they are. But I mean, Sidney Crosby gets a three-point night. Evan Rodriguez, as we already mentioned, had a beautiful goal. Jeff Carter gets on the score sheet. This team just, they fell behind, and Jake Allen was able to keep them there. That was basically the story of this game.
I think, and to think of the way the Canadiens' first goal happened, it's late in the second, mm-hmm. and for pretty much the whole 3 to 5 minutes beforehand, the Penguins are dominating. So much zone time, so much getting the puck around to the right players and not losing possession. And then just one, this is just the way it always goes in Penguins, momentum shifts. Mm-hmm. One pass that gets over Letang's stick, breakaway for Drouin, and yeah, dismiss just not stopping it because it's not Tristan Jarry. And let's be real, Jonathan Drouin is still a very good player. Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't want to, that goal specifically, I didn't want to pin the blame directly on DeSmith immediately.
Yeah.
I mean, sure, a pass is going to fly over your stick sometimes. But I also didn't want to blame Letang because, like I said, sometimes a pass just goes errant. It happens.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an unfortunate event that you can't pin blame anywhere. But sometimes you just need that save, especially whenever the momentum is in your favor. At 20 more seconds in the zone, I guarantee the Penguins were scoring. That's how much momentum they had there.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I mean about you need a timely save. I understand it's a breakaway. I understand that it's Jonathan Drouin. He's a very talented NHL player. But if you make that save, you continue to keep the momentum. In fact, you build on that momentum, and that game ends entirely differently. But you didn't get the save. You go down, and it ends up kind of costing the team, as it happens a couple times in the third period after the Penguins tie it up. They go down 3-1, and then it's a game of back and forth between the Penguins trying to catch up and an empty net goal. And that's always difficult when you're down multiple goals, especially, I mean, you saw Letang stop an empty net shot, and then there was just somebody else right there. It's very difficult once you empty that net to be able to catch up from a multiple goal deficit.
Yeah, it's hard to stop a puck whenever you're not in goalie pads also.
That's true.
It's hard. Like, we can't blame anyone if an empty net goal gets scored against unless it's blatant, really.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, there's just not a goalie there.
Yeah.
Crosby did what he could trying to tie up Anderson. Just, you know, things happen. There's no goalie there.
Yeah.
But it was interesting and fun watching us battle back. Mm-hmm. I don't think Kapanen meant to bat that puck back to Carter at one bit, but it worked, and we got a goal there, and we kept the momentum shifting toward us because I was able to watch this one too. It was at our buddy Matt's house, and when Jeff Carter scored that goal, the Canadiens immediately took a timeout. Why? Like, you're still ahead in the game. Bob Airey and Mirzi said that because they're a nervous team. The Canadiens.
Yeah.
How are you ahead in the game and still nervous? That's just how much in shambles this team is right now. Because I heard that and thought, how are you nervous? Jake Allen is standing on his head. You're ahead in the game still.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you tied it. It's not like we just had some big long comeback. Mm-hmm. We were down by one. Or we were down by two and we came within one.
Mm-hmm.
I was about to say,
that is the sign of a team that is not confident in their abilities.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there was a lot of time left. And sure, maybe you want to take a timeout, but again, you were ahead in the game. We're going to be pulling the goalie again. The most you have to tell the guys, you don't have to call a timeout for this, just say, hey, possess the puck for a moment, get an empty netter, and we're back in this. We're back ahead with breathing room. But they had to take a full timeout, and it was just an interesting, very wild ending to the game. Granted, they did go down and score multiple more empty net goals, but still, just that's a nervous team that you want to beat. But I think the fact that we were able to stay in it, you put any other goalie in that game other than Jake Allen, blowout victory again.
Yeah. So the Penguins lose their five-game winning streak that began and ended with the Montreal Canadiens. Obviously, it started with a 6-0 drubbing of Montreal in Montreal and then ends with this 6-3 loss on Saturday night. And, you know, every win streak comes to an end. I'm actually happy that it came to an end this way. You knew it was going to come to an end at some point. You don't want to lose to the Montreal Canadiens at home. Let me not get that mixed up right here. But in the way that you lost, you were able to score goals, albeit Jake Allen kind of stood on his head. You had your backup goalie in net, and this is the game prior to a five-game road trip where you're still playing great hockey. You still have somehow gained probably confidence after a loss, and now you go into a five-game road trip against, honestly, three of the five games are going to be very, very difficult. Two of them, possibly not. But I don't want to rule out the Kraken just because, you know, you never know, first time ever playing a team in franchise history. We'll see how that goes. But what I like is I would have much rather ended the winning streak in the last home game before a road trip than the first game of a road trip, because then that sets a tone. Tonight they get the opportunity to set a tone against the Calgary Flames, get a little bit of revenge from a 4-0 loss on home ice about a month and a half ago at this point. But that's going to be one of the toughest games of this five-game road trip. It's going to be a two-week road trip, four games on the West Coast, so all late games, and then we're going to finish it off on December 10th back on the East Coast at the Washington Capitals. I think the bookends of this road trip are going to be the most difficult. At the Flames, who are a team that has been one of the best in the Western Conference, and then at the Capitals, where the last time you were there, only a couple weeks ago, you lost by a score of, what was it, 6 or 7-1? I don't know. I left the game early.
Oh, you left? Yeah, I don't blame you.
Yeah, DC traffic and getting killed by that much, and the fact that I worked that day and Kayla worked the next day, I was not sitting there to watch the end of that.
Alcohol sales after the second period, like the Penguins do too?
Yes.
Ah, yeah, no, you're out of there. Especially because it was a free ticket, was it not?
No, it was not. It was not a free ticket.
Oh, I thought you were given the ticket. I don't know why I thought that.
No.
Well, anyway. Yeah,
got discounted tickets, but they're not free.
Okay. So yeah, you saw your discounted rate and said that's enough.
Yeah,
because the Pens played discounted that day too.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, it's gonna be a hard road trip. I mean, you mentioned Calgary, just getting a goal is already a boost from what happened last time.
Yes.
And then we go into Edmonton, where the talk of the town is always Connor McDavid, but oh wait. He being at 2 points per game is not even the best on their team right now.
Yeah.
Leon Draisaitl is getting very much overlooked, and he's on pace for God knows how many points. Mm-hmm. He's at over a goal and assist per game right now. Last I looked, he was at 20 goals and 20 assists for 40 points in 19 games.
Yeah.
How are we not talking about him more than McDavid? But that's going to be difficult. But again, I keep looking at that team and going, how the hell is Koskinen the one doing this? And then you look at his underlying numbers, you go, oh, it's all offense on that team. Got it.
Basically, yeah. It's all offense. And also, Stuart Skinner's been okay when he's got in.
Yeah. But I mean, because Koskinen's numbers aren't phenomenal. I mean, last I looked again, he had a .908 save percentage, which
is not bad. That's a little above average.
Yeah, but they're winning at a far above average pace, so
yeah,
it's all offense on that team. And then we go into Vancouver, who again, another team in shambles.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a big game to watch, because that's a disappointing L if we take an L there.
Mm-hmm.
Just tell it like it is. And Seattle is just not doing well.
They're what a expansion team is expected to be right now.
Yeah, Vegas screwed them, man.
Yeah,
they really did. And that's just the West Coast. We can discuss Washington next week when we get there.
Yeah.
But for those Canadian games, those are the Canadian and, you know, Western American game. That's going to be battles that every game is going to be important. Every game is going to mean something to the fan base of what this team can be. Mm-hmm. Because we want to beat the good teams. Because let's just tell it like it is, on our 5-game win streak, how many good teams did we beat there? Like, actually good teams. Winnipeg, Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I mean, we beat a Montreal team in shambles. We beat a Vancouver Canucks team in shambles. And we beat an Islanders team who's being awful right now. And
yeah,
hurt to hell and back. You know, it's, we want to start beating the good teams because we've also been losing to bad teams in Ottawa and Buffalo. So we got to perform against these teams like Calgary, Edmonton, and, you know, we haven't seen Seattle yet. We don't know what they can do. Maybe they have our number and we just don't know it.
Yeah.
If we go out there and Jared McCann scores a hat trick, it's game over for this fan base. Hope everybody realizes that.
Yeah. Yeah, you're gonna have to turn off the old Twitterverse there. Definitely don't want to look at
if either of them score against us, just delete the app.
Yeah, honestly. But no, it should be a fun 5-game road trip. 2 weeks on the road. Get your coffee ready because it's gonna be a lot of late night hockey. Starting, of course, again tonight at the Calgary Flames and the red hot Jacob Markstrom in net. A battle of what's gonna be, you know, right now, two of the top goalies in the NHL. And I know people don't realize it, but Tristan Jarry is one of the top 5 goaltenders in the National Hockey League this season, especially after this late run. But we're going to take a quick break. When we return, let's talk about the other goaltender, and that is Casey DeSmith and the Penguins' backup goalie situation. We'll be right back. Football fans, I'm sure we all love an action-packed, high-scoring NFL game. But with the latest no-brainer from DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you'll be a winner once a single point is scored. New customers who bet just $1 on any team to score can win $100 in free bets. It's that simple. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, you can still get in on all the NFL action. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN. Bet $1 on any team to score and win $100 in free bets if they score. If they score, you score with promo code THPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Welcome back to the Tip of the Iceberg podcast, brought to you as always by the Hockey Podcast Network. The Pittsburgh Penguins obviously just ended a 5-game winning streak with a loss to the Montreal Canadiens, and that loss came at the hands of their backup goaltender, Casey DeSmith. Now, DeSmith has gone winless in a lot of his last 10 games. I believe it's been like 8 or 9 games dating back to last season, but if you look specifically at this year, he has been pretty putrid. He's been bad. 0-3-1 record, a 4.32 goals allowed average, and an .867 save percentage. Now, that is not the normal for Casey DeSmith. And if you look at his career numbers, a 2.72 goals allowed average, that's really good. A .913 save percentage, that's really good, especially for a backup. But this season specifically, he's just not been able to get the job done. And it looks like almost every time he's in there, which has not been much. I mean, 4 games out of 21 is a very low portion. But when he's out there, he just doesn't look comfortable. And he gives up some goals that it's just like, right there, you needed a save. We talked about it in the first segment. And that goal with Jonathan Drouin on Saturday, it's like, listen, we controlled 5 minutes of play. I understand it's a breakaway, but dude, you got to make the save there. So that's been what we've seen from DeSmith. I mean, how serious is this situation? Do you think that DeSmith should be looking over his shoulder to see who's coming up behind him? Or do you think it's just a matter of, listen, the guy hasn't played very much hockey?
Well, coming up behind him is a very finely dressed Louis Domingue. Let's just tell it like it is. We don't need to make a trade or anything of that nature to fix this problem right away. Now, Louis Domingue might not be what he was in Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point, I'm willing to give DeSmith one more chance because he's only played 4 games. That's completely fair. But the fact that he has yet to pick up a quality start, I don't know where Hockey Reference gets that quality start stat from, but I like it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that he's yet to pick up a quality start, that's not good. Because even loss, even Matt Murray picked up a couple of quality starts in his 0-for year before being sent to Belleville. Mm-hmm. So that's really saying something. DeSmith is not – I don't want to say he's not the answer for backup right now because we're paying him a ton of money and he's been here for a while. And I guess he's kind of a veteran who's seen it all, right? I mean, bouncing between the ECHL and the AHL and then making it to the league and then being sent back to the NHL for a year because we had Murray and Jari going. Mm-hmm. He's been here for us, but at the same time, the backup goaltending position is – it's one you filter in and out pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And I think he's just run stale here. It happens. Ooh. I think it's – I'm not going to say it's quite yet time to move on. Like I said, I'm willing to give him one more chance. But when it comes to him looking over his shoulder, yeah, we have an answer in-house. Louis Domingue is most likely still an NHL-capable backup.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if he's playing four games through 20, I'd put Domingue in there, give him a shot. It's something new. It's something different. And if backup goalies in this town have taught us anything, the weirdest oddball names can come out of nowhere and really be something for you. Mm-hmm. I think we saw Thomas Wokoun take us multiple rounds into the playoffs. We saw Brent Johnson stay here for a long time and then end Rick DiPietro's career. Backup goalies in this town are interesting. Now, we're very used to having starters as our backup as well,
mm-hmm.
if the past few years have taught us anything. But I think we give DeSmith this one more chance and then pull up someone. I don't know if a move needs to be made, but maybe – because that's a big contract. You don't know what to do with it exactly. Maybe you just have to ship DeSmith out for some picks, which we could use.
Yeah, when it comes to Casey DeSmith, I don't know if it's a thing like, oh, he needs to play more to be more effective in net. But here's the thing. When you have a guy in Tristan Jarry that's playing the way he is, I'm not going to pull Tristan Jarry off of a hot streak just to say, hey, we need to keep Casey DeSmith a little bit warm here because he's our backup. That's not how you operate if you're the Pittsburgh Penguins, and luckily they haven't. So if Casey DeSmith is unable to come in and basically spot start once every 3 weeks, if he can't do that effectively, then yeah, send him down. Let him get his reps in Wilkes-Barre. I know that we did that a couple years ago and he didn't take it all that well, but listen, you're the backup goaltender. It's part of the job that you're going to be cold most of the time coming into a game. And just, you have to be ready when you have that opportunity. We saw Louis Domingue, as you mentioned, and that's where I would go to if I'm looking to honestly make that replacement. But right now, I think Casey DeSmith deserves another chance because he's been a dutiful backup for this team for several years now. But if he continues to play the way that he has, Louis Domingue, we saw him be able to do that spot start thing with a dominant starting goaltender in Tampa. Andrei Vasilevskiy plays 60 games a year. So Louis Domingue barely played at all and was able to have success down there in Tampa Bay. So he's had that experience. He's playing pretty well in the AHL right now for the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins. He's 3-3-2 on the year, 2.54 goals allowed average, and a .922 save percentage. If you translate those numbers, which I understand the NHL is more difficult, but if you translate those numbers to the NHL, that's a couple of wins in a backup situation. That's all you can ask for right now. And the way the Penguins were playing on Saturday, they should have won the game. All you needed was a competent goaltending performance, and you didn't get that by Casey DeSmith.
And maybe not getting goalied by Jake Allen, of all people. But again, that's true. That happens. We got goalied in New York, and we won. So you can get goalied and still win games.
Mm-hmm. If you're a goaltender, if you're a backup goaltender, all I need you to do is keep it at 3 goals or lower. That's what I look for when I see a backup goaltender in net. Unless it's a 1A, 1B situation, like when it was Matt Murray and Tristan Jarry, the expectations are higher. But with Casey DeSmith, 3 goals or less. And if we don't score more than 3 goals, that's on the offense. 3 goals or less. Now, he gave up 3 goals in that game, but the way that he gave up 3 goals was putrid. The amount that we outplayed the Montreal Canadiens and you lost that game, and the way that the goals that he gave up, it was not good enough. And it's just a matter of, you're at 4.32 goals allowed average. What did I say? 3 goals or less. You don't get to that unless you have a couple of really bad games. He's only played in 4. But, you know, I don't want to get too hard on him. But at the same time, listen, the Penguins, Tristan Jarry, you don't want to run the table with Tristan Jarry playing as much hockey as he has. He's leading the league right now in time on ice for goaltenders. You don't want to run him dry, because you know what's going to happen? If this persists, Tristan Jarry is going to have a lights-out regular season, and he's going to gas out by the playoffs. And everybody in Pittsburgh is going to say, well, Tristan Jarry can't perform in the playoffs. It's like, well, he started 68 games. It's basically on pace for. He started 60 games, and he played really well. Maybe he just gassed out before the playoffs, and that comes back to, yeah, that's a backup goalie issue.
Yeah, how many times has Toronto showed us that happens?
With Freddie Anderson basically his entire time there.
Yeah, only the elitist of the elite. I don't know why he's elitist. Only the elite of the elite goaltending can do that for you. Can go through 60 plus games a season and then survive a playoffs. The robot that is Vasilevskiy can do that. Sometimes we saw him fall apart in the playoff before. He's not perfect either. So you need a good backup goalie to step in and make sure your starter is rested and ready to go for the most important games of the season.
Yeah.
It's not, again, like I say, the backup goalie does not have to be perfect.
No.
But when you're paying him $1.25 million, hold on here. You got to make some stops.
Your goals allowed average needs to be below four if that's what you're getting paid.
Save percentage above nine, all of that. Like, I mentioned the Koskinen numbers earlier. You give me Koskinen numbers, again, he's a starter over there for some reason. Every year in Edmonton, I'm sure we say that.
Yeah.
But he's at least getting wins, and yeah, it's a great offense in front of him. But you give me a 908, which is what I think Koskinen was hitting at last time I saw. Give me a 908. That's fine. Give me Matt Murray's 899 even from the year he was bad here. Mm-hmm. I'll take an 899 for a backup. You're a backup. You're not supposed to be, winning Veznas. It's just a matter of making the right saves when we need to. When you're spotting in, get your quality start, man.
Yeah.
And it sucks. Like I said, Smith's been here for a while. He's been a workhorse for us, but I don't know. When there's a certain goalie in net as a fan sometimes, at least for me, I have a certain confidence in the goalie. Like when you see a breakaway happening, do you tense up or do you lay back and go, our goalie has this because he is so-and-so. With the Smith, I tense up every damn time. I always have because he's the backup. Now, I tense up a lot whenever Fleury was in net, when Murray was in net. Jarry, I've stopped tensing for.
I tense up in the shootout, but that's it.
Yeah, but I don't think I've even tensed because I'm just used to it. I'm like, all right, whatever. It's an L. We'll take it. But yeah, it's a matter of what kind of tension do you feel?
Mm-hmm.
That's another factor that I always take in with goalies, because you can't just look at numbers with goalies. I mean, we do, but how many times we mentioned it's voodoo.
Yeah, it's voodoo, and also it's timeliness.
Yeah,
and so Smith definitely doesn't have the timeliness or the stats, and the voodoo clearly not in his favor right now.
Yeah, so it's just a matter of what have you done for me lately, and guess what? It is not much in Casey DeSmith's situation. Also, you have a new mask. Use it. I want to see it on the ice, man.
The only other goaltender in the Penguins organization that would even get a sniff at that position right now is Philip Lindberg, the 22-year-old rookie out of UMass, and I think it's still really too early for a call-up for him. 4-2 on the season, 2.76 goals allowed average and a .915 save percentage. Good start for Philip Lindberg, but again, too early to be calling him up. Let him marinate a little bit more in the AHL.
We'll come around to him next year.
Yeah. So let's talk about, really quickly before we head to break and finish off this show with a Pens poll, let's talk about the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Fenway Sports Group, as the Penguins signed a purchase agreement to give the Fenway Sports Group full control, or mostly full control, of the Pittsburgh Penguins organization. Now that deal is in the hands of the NHL Board of Governors, which is all expected to be approved probably by the time this comes out, and I will be posting this in probably like 45 minutes, and it'll still probably outdate us real quickly. But big news on that, Mario Lemieux and Ron Burkle both named as remaining owners, so they will stay involved in the ownership group. And we have a hand raised by Horwat. Yes, Mr. Horwat, I feel like a substitute teacher.
I was about to say, do you want the update from an hour ago from the Penguins Twitter account?
Yes, let's see. Let's
all hear right, it. Cool. I didn't know if you got this or not. Because as of an hour ago, the Penguins did tweet, the Pittsburgh Penguins and Fenway Sports Group, a global sports marketing, media, entertainment, and real estate company, today announced that FSG has entered into an agreement to acquire the controlling, I don't know if this means the Board of Governors. Yep. Oh, before the end of the year? Well, we have a month until that becomes fully official. But yes, all the things you were saying, I thought this was like the official announcement. That's why I stopped you for a moment. That one's on me. But expected to close before the end of the year. I didn't realize it would take that long.
I'm sure it's not the first thing on the minds of some of the owners across the league. They're probably doing some other stuff. But I mean, the next tweet after that is Mario Lemieux, a story and a statement from Mario Lemieux saying, "This is an exciting day for the future of our franchise." So yeah, all signs point to the fact that this franchise has been sold to the Fenway Sports Group.
Yes, and for what it is worth, Dejan, that's how you pronounce it?
Dejan Kovacevic.
Kovacevic, yeah.
DK. I call him DK because I always mess up the name.
I should have just said DK. Said it was a $900 million sale. Love yeah. That's a big old number.
Yeah. You mean to tell me and you couldn't come up with that chump change and buy the Penguins?
I can barely afford Christmas gifts this year. You know how much gas is right now? I can barely afford to get to the store to buy them.
Yeah, sometimes I might just have to start, like, running into downtown D.C. to get to work.
I walked to the mall yesterday. I mean, yeah, it's right there, but still. Anyway.
Yeah. So, the Penguins and the Fenway Sports Group, they signed the purchase agreement. They've come to an agreement. We're just waiting on the NHL Board of Governors, which could be, well, now from what it seems, it could be any time in the next week or two or four. But it is imminent. Is the point we're trying to make. It is imminent. The sale has gone through for the most part, and Mario Lemieux and Ron Burkle will remain as part of the Penguins ownership group.
And the Burkle part's the surprising one, because when the original reports came out, it was maybe he was leaving, mm-hmm. But Lemieux was sticking around, and the rest of like upper management was sticking around as well. And of course, we're still waiting on full details, I guess, from Board of Governors stuff, but as of now, it looks like we're just adding in Fenway. Everyone else is staying, which is a little weird. I guess Burkle just didn't want to lose his investment.
I'm sure they probably turned and asked him. They're like, "Hey, listen, you want to keep a minority share. You'll make some money, but you don't have to worry about the day-to-day because Fenway Sports Group is absolutely massive and they have somebody to handle that." Which I'm not sure how much day-to-day there is as an owner because I've never been in that position. It'd be nice to interview one of the owners, get that opinion. Maybe in a couple of years, whenever we have a little bit more clout, we'll try to get that. But I'm sure they're like, you know what, stick around, keep a minority share, like a very low minority share, make some money, and also take your cut of this $900 million and be happy.
And of course, I mean, like we mentioned, we don't know exactly what the day-to-day was for either of the two, Mario or Burkle, but it's a safe assumption from our end at least. You know, I'm speaking it into a microphone or just a phone today, that Lemieux was around for hockey ops stuff because he is the player. He's the one that has gone through it. He went through, when he first bought the team, he went through the hell of a lot of things.
Yeah.
So he's aware of the situation here. He's aware of how league stuff works. It's a safe assumption that he was always around hockey ops situations and still will be. That's the big part here is that he will still be around for hockey ops.
Yeah.
Organizational stuff. But a matter of who steps in with Fenway, I don't know exactly what they'll do because, again, we don't know the business side of things.
Yeah.
But it is more money coming in. It is and if we look back at the Fenway Sports Group tenure of since 2001, they got rid of the curse of the Bambino in Boston. They've won three other World Series since then. Liverpool is one of the biggest names in soccer, so that's pretty big. I know they just recently won their first
Premier League
championship. Yes, thank you. In a long time. I think it's been a while for them. Not saying they were a bad organization or anything, and that it's Fenway that pulled them out, but under their ownership, they've had some victories.
Mm-hmm.
And they also have a NASCAR team. We talked about LeBron James being involved in it.
Yeah.
And as long as Jack Edwards doesn't start announcing Pens games, I think we'll be okay.
Yeah, I highly doubt that that's going to actually happen because Fenway Sports Group doesn't have any portion of AT&T Sportsnet. So we're going to take a quick break. I mean, all that basically is to say is it's stability for the Pittsburgh Penguins. And that's what Mario Lemieux wanted. I mean, if you look at his plan whenever he bought the Penguins, it was make sure the Penguins stay in Pittsburgh, create stability for years to come. Well, the new arena was a massive chapter in this. And now this is an even bigger one because this is stability for decades, not just years.
Yeah, for what it is worth, because everyone always wonders, does this mean the team's going to relocate?
No.
Okay, let's start with under, I believe it is the CBA, new owners cannot move the team within 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the Penguins and the arena are locked into a lease until 2036.
Yeah.
So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The team will be here for a little while.
Yeah, it'll be here forever.
We sure hope so.
As forever as sports teams go. I mean, I start to think of it, and I'm like, 100 years in the road, are we still going to have, like, every single team in the internet? That's just some weird crap that I think of at 3 in the morning when I'm working on other stuff.
Future stuff where you're like, what if one day the Yankees did move? Because there are certain teams where you're like, yeah, they're stuck there.
Yeah, I mean, the Yankees have been around for 100 years.
Yeah, the Yankees are one. Most football teams... Well, maybe not most football teams. That's a money reorganization.
The Steelers have been around since 1933. So they're long-term things, especially established franchises with championships like the Penguins and the Steelers. Pirates, yeah.
You want to know who else is an established franchise that won't be going anywhere? The Boston Red Sox. Hey, you know who owns the Boston Red Sox? Fenway Sports Group. You're welcome, ladies and gentlemen. The Penguins are here to stay.
And with that, we're going to take a quick break. And when we return, a fun little conversation from our Pens poll this past week. We'll be right back.
Hockey fights, lifestyle, and tales from a first-round draft bust? We have it all and more on the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for boutique hockey content and podcasts covering every team in the NHL.
Every time on the video version that we play the DraftKings YouTube-friendly clip that we were given by the Hockey Podcast Network, which is who we're brought to you by the way, welcome back to the Tip of the Iceberg podcast. Every time we play that clip, and I'm not sure it really goes anywhere, we use it on our YouTube videos, so check it out on our YouTube page, Tip of the Iceberg podcast. But I just think of college. You know, think of us all huddled into the one room watching Shane O'Mac return at WrestleMania, getting tossed off the top of the cage by Undertaker. I haven't watched wrestling in a very long time at this point, but that clip right there, with the little remixed Shane O'Mac intro, it just always takes me back to Point Park days.
I can remember before WrestleMania when it was just me, you, and your roommate, Nick Ballard, sitting around. Yeah, three Nicks in one room, ladies and gentlemen. Sitting around just watching a random Monday Night Raw whenever that song hit. And it was like his first time back in a long time. We all were jaw dropped.
Yeah, because, I mean, that was me and you were just getting back into it, but Ballard was a... He was a heartthrob for the WWE. So we were, at least, we realized it because we saw him as kids. But he was like, oh my goodness, we've been through so much. But no, it was, eating those Point Cafe chicken quesadillas that cost way too much.
Those wraps, though, were fire.
They were. But
and also, I haven't watched wrestling since Kofi won the belt. Does he still have? Oh, Big E does now. I at least kind of keep up.
Oh, I don't know. I know Roman Reigns has a belt and he's a bad guy now. That's all I know about the wrestling.
No, yeah. I know Big E's got a belt, and at least he did. And he's been doing fun things.
I know CM Punk's at AEW. I've paid more attention to what AEW is doing than I do with WWE.
And that's the other thing I know, is that AEW's ripping it apart, so.
Yeah, so let's finish off this segment with, or this segment, this episode, with our weekly Pens poll, a fun little Pens poll this week, kind of getting away from the current hustle and bustle of the Pittsburgh Penguins, and talk about some former Penguins. Our question was, which former Penguin do you miss the most? You can answer this in two ways. Miss the most as in just miss seeing on the ice, miss his personality, or miss the most as in the Penguins need their services. The winner of this poll was Patrick Hornqvist with 37% of the vote. Second place was Phil Kessel. He had 30% of the vote. Brandon Tanev came in third place with 20% of the vote, and Jared McCann finished in dead last with 13% of the vote. Horwat, which former Penguin did you miss the most? Which one did you vote for in this poll?
I missed the options again. I was reading more updates on Fenway. It was Hornqvist, I heard.
Hornqvist, Kessel, Tanev, McCann.
Oh. I don't remember who I answered now. I may have said Kessel because our power play needs so much help right now. And I think he was a big reason why it popped off for a couple of years there. So I'm going to go with Kessel because, first of all, that's just a media darling, is it not? Social media darling. Let me correct that.
Yeah.
That was the one person everyone on social media could get behind, no matter what. It didn't matter.
Yeah.
Good or bad, all of social media loved him. I think we should have kept Ryan Reeves around a little longer because that friendship was beautiful.
Yeah.
Despite what we gave up for him. Who cares? Yeah. That's all in the past now. Rutherford's gone. He's gone. That first-round draft pick, it's in the past. Whatever.
I mean, not really. Klim Kostin's playing for the Blues right now, but yeah.
I don't know who that is, so, you know. their friendship was beautiful. Phil Kessel was just an absolute beauty to have out there. And watching him and Malkin argue, like, yeah, you don't like seeing infighting with your teammates, but like, it showed something that those two cared about the game. They both wanted to win just in their own way.
Mm-hmm.
Give me Phil Kessel every day of the week. Is he going to be on the Olympic team this year with Mike Sullivan as coach?
Ooh. I don't know. We are getting close to that point where if the NHL does go to the Olympics, because the Senators had a shutdown and I believe it was 5 games were postponed. And now the Islanders have only 2 games postponed, but
that also all these social issues with China.
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
It's not even so much COVID as it is the social issues, because I think Trudeau and Biden mentioned a possible boycott of their athletes. So, yeah, we don't know. But, yeah.
Either way, we're getting close to, if it happens, we're getting close to roster time. So, I mean, that'll be a conversation to have in a couple weeks. I voted for Brandon Tanev in this one. I said there's 2 ways to answer this question: which way the Penguins need it most when it comes to talent and ability, and which way that you miss it the most. And you know what? I loved Phil Kessel. I loved Patrick Hornqvist until almost the bitter end. Towards the end, I wanted him traded, and he did get traded. But I like Brandon Tanev, and just you see what he is now in Seattle. He's a cult hero. He sees ghosts. He plays a style of hockey that I don't think anybody dislikes to see. I think everybody loved watching Brandon Tanev play hockey. And realistically, it felt like his time here was cut short. Now, he signed to that big contract. People were like, why did we sign him to that big contract? And now everybody's missing him. So it takes a lot to sway the opinion of an entire fan base. And he did that in just 2 short years. But, I do miss Brandon Tanev. I see him in a Kraken uniform. And I think maybe one day, once I have money, I'll buy a Kraken Tanev jersey, but he didn't bring much in terms of goals or points, but the intangibles, the way that he played on that line with Zach Aston-Reese and Teddy Bluger, and not that we don't like Brock McGinn, because I like Brock McGinn a lot. Yeah, but definitely of these 4, the one that I just voted for in this one. I threw Jared McCann in at the end, and I was like, I don't expect Jared McCann. Like, that is exactly what I expected Jared McCann to have, 13% of the vote.
Redo this vote after the Kraken game whenever Jeremy McCann does have a hat trick against us. And
no, I don't know though. Like, Hornqvist and Kessel won Stanley Cups.
Yeah, no, and I can't confirm. I finally pulled it up. I can't confirm I did vote for Kessel, so all my reasoning is still accurate. The Hornqvist one winning makes also a ton of sense, just because it was Patrick Hornqvist, because of who he was.
Yeah, that's true.
Not even goal scorer Patrick Hornqvist or point acquirer. I don't remember the right word. Collector. It didn't matter. He played the hard-nosed style that everyone loved. He was the fun guy in the locker room, and he was just a nice guy, period, off the ice. And he's the guy you miss for sure, but the Kessel stories were awesome. When it comes to Tanev, he became the cult hero. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
And, McCann makes a lot of sense too, I think, just because of how he left. It wasn't so much like we had to get rid of him, but it was, why are we getting rid of him? Maybe his tenure could have lasted longer, but new management, they want to make the changes.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one that, probably not needed, but was expected, because that was a weird trade to begin with. Who did we trade? Because it was Bukestad
Maple Leafs
collected with him. What was that?
We traded Jared McCann to the Maple Leafs. Oh, when we got him? Yeah, no, we traded for Bukestad and McCann at the same time, yeah.
Yeah, who'd we get rid of for them? I forget now.
I don't remember. I don't.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I don't remember quite enjoying the trade to start with, but so it goes, I guess. But, every one of these options made sense. Hornqvist I get. Tanev I also get, but hey, Phil, man, who did we trade for?
I'm looking that up right now. I'm trying to pull up the trade. Not getting anything, really. It was a couple seasons ago, but everything that's coming up for me right now is Bukestad to the Wild from the Penguins. Oh, yeah, so we traded a bag of pucks, basically, for 2 guys. Got an injury-prone center, and Jared McCann, that was actually very good.
It was Derek Brassard, Riley Shea, and three picks, ladies and gentlemen. A second, a fourth, second and two fours.
Yeah. If that doesn't show you what Jim Rutherford thought about draft picks, I don't know what will. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of the Tip of the Iceberg podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate it. Like I said at the top of the show, this has been our best month ever here at the Tip of the Iceberg podcast. So thank you to everybody that has tuned in, that has downloaded these podcasts, that has subscribed to us on Apple Podcast, and everybody that has rated us on Apple Podcast as well. If you haven't already, go on and do that. Let us know what you think about it. Leave a review. We'll take a look at it. And we'll, you know, if you have suggestions, we're always willing to take them. But that's it for this episode. We'll see you guys on Thursday and talk about two of the five games here on this Western Conference road trip. Get your coffee ready, everybody. Let's go, Pens.
You can follow us on Twitter at NickHorwat41 and at Nick_Berlansky. You can also follow the show's Twitter handle at Iceberg Podcast. This podcast can be found anywhere you get your podcasts from, so please subscribe and rate us on Apple Podcasts. We are brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. You can visit them on Twitter at HockeyPodNet or at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com. Every team, everywhere.